Welcome to the Haverford College Athletics Podcast. My name is Warren Croxton, Assistant Sports Information Director. This podcast allows fans of Haverford College Athletics to get to know some of the great student-athletes, coaches, and administrators in the athletic department. This episode of the podcast features men's cross-country runner Nick Gandolf-Lucia. The senior talks about his time at Haverford, running for a Hall of Fame coach, making a movie, and much more. Here's how the interview went.
What's the longest distance that you've gone for a run for?
I did 17 once. I don't actually think that that's that high for the team. I know one of my friends did 19 last year. Most people, like, in regular training, we won't go above 16.
Right. But, like, do you just do it for training? You just do it for fun? What would make someone run 17 miles? Is it just...
I think a lot of things have to happen for someone to decide to run 17 miles, but yes, I mean, in short, like, yeah, it's part of training. I think all runners are, like, a little bit masochistic. Like, everyone who does this is, like, into making themselves feel a little bit of pain when they run, and, like, going for 17, 18, however many miles is, like, definitely one of the ways that we do that.
So let's transition it back to Haverford for a second. So when you're getting ready to prepare, when you're a high school sophomore, junior, senior, you're looking at your schools, what are some of the things that attracted you to Haverford College?
I mean, I think that a couple different things attracted me. I didn't know what I was doing when I was applying for schools, but Tom was the first person I talked to at Haverford because my high school coach suggested I talk to him basically about whether or not I wanted to run in college, not so much about the school itself. And he was just, like, very helpful and, like, listened and, like, wasn't judgmental about whether or not I should run in college. Just sort of, like, laid out, like, the kind of choice it is. And that was an environment that I found really, really inviting. Because of that, I very much wanted to come to Haverford. I knew it was a great school academically. I wanted to be somewhere small because it was... I didn't want to be, like, a number in a class. I mean, you're that to some extent wherever you go, but, like, here it's a lot more personal, I think, and especially with the team. It was, felt like the most personal environment.
How did you balance life as a student-athlete?
For the first 2 years, I really didn't do it at all very well. I was just tired all the time. And I wasn't really able to find a good balance between doing all the work that I wanted to do for school and running well. I was always either too tired from working too late or, like, didn't do all my work because I was running. Like, it's really hard to find a balance. I think it's really, really hard to find a balance. If you want to take both seriously, even at a place like Haverford that tries to make it, like, pretty easy for you. Recently, I found that, like, and Tom says this to everyone, like, you just need a good routine. Like, you need to, like, know when you're going to get up every morning and get up at that time. Like, know when you're going to go to bed every night and, like, make a list of the things you need to get done that day and, like, get them done. I think being organized is really helpful. But I also think you just have to be prepared to work pretty hard. I don't think it's very easy, definitely, but I think it's something that's, like, important to me and to a lot of people on the team.
Who were some of your major influences when getting involved in cross country and track?
My high school coach was a guy named Martin, who was running for him was a lot of fun. It wasn't always, like, super serious, but it was a lot of fun. I think Tom is the only college coach I would have run for because I wanted someone who would take me seriously as, like, an athlete, but also seriously as, like, a person. And because of that, I only really wanted to run somewhere where I felt like I could do that. Since I've been here, like, I sort of bought in and invested when I got here, and, like, I haven't really thought about what, like, nothing has had to, like, make me buy in again since then.
What's the culture like being around Tom. You know, Tom's a Hall of Fame coach and has really bought, you know, has really maintained a level of success here that's almost unmatched by anyone. What's it like being a part of that culture?
There's like a lot of different dimensions to that. In some ways, the first thing to say is that it's awesome because, like, you get to run with people who are really serious and you get to be around a coach who, like, believes that he's coaching the best team in the country. And, like, that kind of belief is really important because you can't really expect to do anything if you don't have that kind of belief coming from, like, someone that a lot of people respect. And the culture in that sense is really supportive. We've always, in the time that I've been here, I think done a really good job of making everyone on the team feel valued, regardless of whether you're running at nationals or, like, you don't make sure the conference meet, like, whatever your role is on the team, you're important, and, like, we couldn't do anything we do without everyone that's on the team.
Is there a particular moment athletically that stands out above the rest, whether it be on for the track or cross country? Is there just one moment that kind of stands out?
Yeah, I think, I mean, running is a sport that's definitely, like, becomes worth it, like, moment to moment. Like, you sort of have races that feel good but don't feel spectacular, and, like, the thing that keeps you going is, like, the races that feel really, really good. The biggest moment for me probably was not actually a race I ran, but was cross-country conferences my freshman year, watching the varsity race. That was the top 12, and I was our 13th guy, so I wasn't running in it. But that was the first time I was watching. We won that year, and we won pretty handily. And it was the first time that I felt like part of the team, and I felt like what we were doing was, like mattered, and we were doing it well and stuff, because I, like, got to watch people that I respected a lot, like, really put themselves on the line in a way that, like, I wanted to be able to do in my own racing. So for me, the moment that stands out to me most is not a race that I ran, but a race that I watched that really influenced the way that I want to run my races.
What about academically? Is there one moment that either academically stands out, or is there one particular moment in your couple of years here at Haverford that stands out that doesn't really have anything to do with athletics?
Yeah, so I made a movie last semester with two of my good friends called My Life in the Times of Mr. Masato, which is about this magician in Philadelphia who grew up in North Philly, and it's sort of his story of, like, disentangling himself from, like, kind of, like, a drug culture, and, like, growing up and, like, basically using, like, magic and, like, becoming a famous magician to, like, change his life. And it was, like, really, it's a really interesting story, and it was a lot about, a lot of it was about performance and the ways that, like, we, like, because he was always performing in different contexts. He'd perform on stages, he'd perform in streets, he'd also sort of perform for the camera and say funny things and all this stuff. So making that documentary last semester was really important, and then at the end of it, when we finally finished it, one of my professors was telling me how they thought, like, my camera work was good and I should, like, try to do this, and that was, like, a moment that was just, like, very, very gratifying for me, and sort of has shaped my trajectory since then to, like, try to do more of that.
So what was it like putting together a documentary? Like, how long was it? Like, what kind of hours did you have to put into it? What are some of the details behind that?
Well, it's sort of funny because, like, making this was, like, really hard to do while we were running, because my two friends who I made it with were on the team. One of them, Ryan Gooding, is a senior this year as well, and the other one, David Rosa, just graduated. But we started in January, right towards the end of January, and we finished our final cut at the beginning of May. So it took a few months. It's 10 minutes long. We were in production, which means we were filming for most of February and March. So, like, spring break, we were on campus and we were filming every day from, like, when we woke up to when we came back to run. So we all ran, like, an 85-mile week on top of, like, being on our feet filming every day. And that was, like, that was the tired, most tired I've ever been, because I'm, like, a person who, like, I just, like, have to lay awake for a while before I fall asleep, but I passed out instantly every night that week. I just, like, we were just pushing our bodies really hard. And filmmaking, much like a serious athletic endeavor, really requires you to, like, kind of bracket a lot of other things in your life so that you can, like, focus on getting your story to work. If you're, like, making a documentary, if you're not making something scripted, if you're making something, it's, like, always kind of coming into existence, and, like, you're sort of trying to help guide it there. So that was really hard. It was also really awesome, because there's this thing that happens when you make a movie where, like, 90% of the time you're working on it, like, so basically from, like, January to, like, mid to late April, it feels like it's not gonna work. It feels like the movie's never gonna come together. And then there's, like, a moment where, like, it becomes watchable, and it's, like, it's not that anything different happens. Not like that was, like, the moment where, like, everything clicked. It's just, like, yeah, I think filmmaking and running are actually really similar in a lot of ways. Filmmaking is also pretty masochistic in some ways. Like, it's hard because, especially, like, if you're doing documentary, like, you have someone else's story in your hands a lot of the time, and there's, like, a lot of, like, trying to be respectful to that and, like, trying to also tell a story that's interesting. That's just, like, really hard and takes a lot of thought. Like I said, I think, like, the investment in both has to be pretty high. I also think that doing it well really takes, like, it takes a little bit of a vision, I think. Like, not so much a vision, like, I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z, but, like, you have to sort of just, like, repeat to yourself over and over again that, like, what you're doing is, like, capable of being done. Because, like, sometimes, like, it just doesn't really feel like that, because some things are, like, not necessarily comprehensible ventures when you're in the middle of them. Like, when you're in the middle of, like, an 8K race, and, like the first one of the year, we run Paul Short every year, it's our first 8K. And for the past 3 years, every time I've run the race, I thought I was going to drop out after 2 miles. I've never run that race and felt like I was going to, like, and felt like it was something I could do the whole time I was doing it, but, like, you sort of have to just tell yourself that you can. That's something that happens, I think, when you're doing creative work, too.
So you talked about filmmaking. Is this where you want to go after college? Like, what is the game plan now going forward?
The game plan is, like, find a good game plan right now. But, I do want to do film and media stuff. I'm really interested in, like, community-based media that, like, sort of originates from people in a community making things that are, like, useful and, like, can create change in that community. Because, like, I very much believe in the relationship between, like, art and activism. And, like, I don't have so much of, like, a political activist background, but, like, I know that I want to be, like, a very engaged person with, like, my, like, culture and context and all that stuff. And I know that I really like making things, so I'm, like, trying to find a way to do those at the same time, which is hard because no one wants to pay you to do that. So I'm sort of, like, trying to find ways that it will be possible to do that. And honestly, I haven't found that many yet. I'm working on applying for the Watson Fellowship because I think that's, like, one thing that could sort of look like that. But that's really just one thing.
Okay, so this part of the interview is some rapid-fire questions where you can just give me the first thing that pops into your head. Favorite movie?
Oh, God. I'm going to say The Act of Killing, but that's not true. That's just the movie that left me the most speechless.
Favorite book?
God. You're asking such hard questions. I don't know. I really like Franny and Zoe.
Favorite food to eat before a race? Or how about favorite food to eat after a race?
After a race is probably ice cream. Before a race is peanut butter and jelly.
Favorite spot to go for a run?
It depends. I love our trail here. I'm such a boring person. I love running on the trail.
Do Do you listen to your iPhone going for a run, or do you go without music?
No, I don't listen to music.
What was your favorite superhero or cartoon growing up?
Definitely Batman. Yeah.
Who was your favorite Batman?
Who was my favorite Batman? I mean, I was sort of... I think that now I like the Christian Bale version most.
Not the George Clooney one?
Not as much.
What's your favorite board game?
I like chess. I think chess is fun.
Do you play or did you ever play video games when you were younger?
Yeah, I played a lot of video games. I love Legend of Zelda. Those games were really fun. And Kingdom Hearts. Those are great games.
What was your best Halloween costume?
That's a really good question. I think every runner went as Polly Bleeker at least once. I definitely did that.
What are you afraid of the most?
Wow. I don't even know where to begin with a question like that, because I'm a little bit afraid of a lot of things and not, like, super afraid of any one thing. My biggest kick recently has been being afraid of, like, sort of just, like, being, like, a harmful person to people around me, like, being someone who is not, like, conscious of how everyone around them feels.
What would the name of your autobiography be?
He Tried.
What do you miss most about your childhood?
This is so sappy. I really miss my dog. I had a dog named Hildy when I was, like, very little. And I think that, like, the, like, nostalgia of, like, going for walks with my dog. Right? I used to live in the Lehigh Valley, then we moved to New Jersey. But, like, going walks there is, like, you know, like, we all have these, like, childhood memories of, like, where the world is, like, a really carefree place. And, like, that's sort of the place, I think, I have stored that.
What is it like to have a brother?
I think it would be hard if we weren't close. We're definitely, we don't need to talk constantly to be close. Like, we are pretty much always able to sit down and have, like, a serious conversation. And we're also pretty similar people. Like, we both feel and do a lot of the same kinds of things. So, in that sense, it's not that hard. Especially, like, it would be hard if, like, we were both freshmen right now. That would be really difficult. Because we'd both be trying to, like, carve out our identities. And we'd be the same, kind of the same person to mm-hmm. everyone else. But because, like, I already have, like, my group of people that are, like, my close friends on the team. And he's, like, still finding all of that stuff. It's not really hard. I mean, it's, in some ways, it's nice. It's nice to have someone, like, from home here. Even though home's not that far away.
What is your number one pet peeve?
I think hypocrisy, honestly. I really hate when people say one thing and do another. I have this, like, in, like, my, like, the primordial moment of hypocrisy is, like, the dining center on Sunday nights has this sign that says, do not put your dishes here on one side of the DC because, like, the workers don't clean that side that day. People always do the dishes there. And one time I watched two people put down the dishes there, like, while they were talking about workers' rights. And I was just like, I can't stand that, like, you can't, like, think about, like, what you're doing and what you're saying as being totally incompatible.
You have the ability to make any movie you want with an unlimited budget. What would the movie be about?
I mean, I've been on this kick lately where I really want to make a movie about, like, marriage and divorce in my family because it's, like, very interesting to me that, like, the way we talk about marriage and the reasons people get married are totally different. If I had an unlimited budget to do that, then I would probably do a ton of research and I would probably make pretty silly family trees that went really far back. And I would make it into, like, a total, like, mythology type of thing instead of, like, something more straightforward. I've just been really into the idea of making movies that are more about, like, that are about people at large, but, like, through that, going through, like, people closer to me. So I think, in some ways, big budget is, like, totally antithetical to that, but that's, like, what I would probably do with the money anyway.
If you could time travel, would you go to the past or future?
Definitely the past, because I know it's going to be there. Things are changing so rapidly now. You got, like, 10 years in the future, like, your phone's not going to work, and, like, do you need to know, like, where I would go?
Yeah, is there a particular moment in time you would go see?
I would have really liked to see the kind of, like, political moment that was happening in, like, the 60s and 70s.
What is the last amazing meal you've ever had?
It's interesting. So I just became a vegetarian over the summer. And I was sort of partially because I started cooking for myself. And I didn't really want to cook meat anyway, so I decided I was just going to stop eating it. The last amazing meal I had was probably a veggie burger somewhere. I think probably a veggie burger that my mom made.
You're going to a dinner, and at the table you can invite 3 guests, past or present. Who would they be and why?
All right, Werner Herzog. He's a filmmaker. He has to come, I think. Do you know, Slavoj Zizek is like this cultural theorist who is like totally off his rocker. He would have to be there as well. I really want to have an interesting discussion where hopefully people are angry with each other. I might want to bring, like, in contrast to them, like a right-wing political thinker, just to have, like, a real interesting discussion. I don't know who that would be necessarily.
Would you rather be the hero or villain in the next great superhero movie?
I think villains are almost always more interesting characters than heroes, especially given, like, the way that, like, superhero movies get made right now, because, like, superhero movies are one of the only genres that's actually still profitable in, like, theaters, just because, like, the amount of, like, the budget for movies right now is so much larger than, like, the profit a lot of the time, but, like, everyone sees superhero movies, so, like, everyone sees them. But I think, like, because of that, we have, like, pretty static heroes a lot of the time. Like, one of the reasons I liked the Christian Bale version of Batman because he's, like, actually, like, a really, like, bad guy. Like, he's not, like, a nice dude. He, like, makes cool sacrifices, but I don't think he sees himself as, like, a nice or good person in a way that, like, a lot of heroes just do see themselves as good people. I actually think it's really interesting how a lot of villains, like, identify themselves with being evil. It's, like, really bizarre. So I think it would be a lot more interesting to be a villain than a hero, but it depends on who wrote the script.
Of course. Who is your favorite Batman villain?
Favorite Batman villain? I think Bane is really interesting because he's sort of like a... I mean, the Joker is, like, the obvious answer because he's, like, psychologically so fascinating. And there's, like, actually, like, a lot of critical literature, I think, that exists about the Joker as, like, this, like, Nietzschean something. I don't know how much I buy that, but, like, I think Bane is interesting because it's sort of like this primal... I think he represents like a primal fear of something just like fundamentally more powerful than you could ever be, like on the level of strength, which I think is something that's like maybe very primal to like men especially. So I like that he represents that. Alternatively, I think sometimes Superman is a villain in the Batman universe, and I also think that's cool. Yeah.
What was the worst movie that you paid to see in the theaters?
I paid to see this movie called Shudder when I was in eighth grade. And it was a horror film about ghosts that only showed up on cameras, which is a really interesting concept. It was a pretty lame movie. It was one of those movies where it like wasn't engaging. It was like, I think that it was so disappointing because it could have been really good. But it ended up being somewhere between boring and, like, kind of just, like, pop thriller-ish.
And then my final question is, describe your perfect day.
My perfect day. It's funny, during this school year, my perfect day is pretty much just, like, I can wake up and I don't have to go anywhere or do anything. And, like, no one, like, is expecting me to be anywhere. And I can just, like, sit around. Because I think once we get into, like, the swing of things, I, like, really dream about not having anything to do. I think my actual perfect day probably still involves a lot of laying around, but it also involves, like, a nice run and, like, playing music and probably, like, making dinner with my friends and with people close to me.
Thanks to Nick for coming onto the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Podomatic. Feel free to rate and leave comments on who we should interview next. Thanks for listening, and go Fords!